Montgomery v. Stefanik. Mr. Grimes?
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Court. This case is before the Court on appeal on a Rule 12b-6 motion to dismiss that was granted in favor of defendants below. The suit was brought by a public employee. The District Court ordered the dismissal of plaintiffs' First Amendment associational claims of intimate association and expressive association, also a 14th Amendment procedural due process claim and the 14th Amendment substantive due process claim. The court also granted the defendant's Rule 54B request. In this particular case, we believe that the court erred by applying the public concern test to the plaintiff's First Amendment freedom of association claims. The intimate association claim is protected by the 14th Amendment of the substantive due process component of the 14th Amendment, and the expressive association claim is protected by the First Amendment freedom of speech clause. The district court applied the public concern test because, in our view, it combined the intimate association and expressive association claims together, and therefore was able to conclude that together they constituted a hybrid claims, they constituted hybrid claims of retaliation for engaging in protected speech and association. Our contention is that these are separate and distinct freedom of association claims. They are not hybrid. They are not a mix of anything of mixed origin. Secondly, that the public concern test does not apply to purely associational claims under the First Amendment. This court is well aware that the last time I looked that this issue of whether purely associational claims are subject to the public concern test was unsettled in this circuit. So our view is that this is the type of case that is purely associational and therefore should not be subject to the public concern test.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes. Mr. Brammer? Mr. Brammer, the only appellees in this case are the three judges. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So the case remains pending in District Court in Hammond? As to Lake County and...
As to the remaining non-state defendants, as we refer to them, Your Honor, it's my understanding that that appeal is also pending before Your Honors. There was a motion to remand that came down. I think I got that last Wednesday or Thursday. The appeal was dismissed pending outcome of perhaps the Shaver Motors defendants.
But anyway, they're not part of this case.
No, sir. It's just the three judges, Your Honor. Your Honor, we would refer to, in response to Mr. Grimes, we would refer to Judge Lozano's order. I don't exactly remember the page number of the order, but I believe he refers to a charitable inference to the associational claims in his order. And we would maintain that the associational claims fail. If you'd refer to the First Amendment complaint, I believe it's paragraphs 3 and 52 of the First Amendment complaint, refer to the, there are facts set out where Ms. Montgomery alleges that she was dismissed because of her purchasing the automobile at a dealership where she had a probationer employed. As the court would probably recall from reviewing the briefs, Ms. Montgomery was a deputy probation officer with the Lake County Superior Court. Indiana law is clear under two statutes that Ms. Montgomery has no property right to that position. The court can dismiss her for any reasonable reason. And as to association. There are no facts that I recall in the complaint that support the allegation that she was dismissed because of her association with her boyfriend or fiancé. She was dismissed because, and the facts in the complaint support this, Shaver informed the Lake Superior Court that she had failed to pay a debt owed to them when she visited the dealership to purchase an automobile, and the investigation supported that fact that she visited a dealership where she had a probationer employed.
Did she know that? Seems kind of odd if she didn't know that there was a probationer working there that she should be penalized for that.
I don't recall any facts rebutting the fact that she knew that her probationer was there.
Well, I mean, did she know or didn't she? I mean, it just seems pretty strange if a probation officer goes and buys a car and happens to be somebody working at the dealership, apparently had nothing to do with the sale of the car. That's correct, isn't it? Later find out that you lose your job because it was somebody that was under your supervision that worked for that dealership. If you didn't know it when you went there.
Well, regardless, under Indiana law, I don't think the fact whether she knew or not matters. She can be dismissed for any reason as long as it's not a violation of her constitutional rights and she had no property interest in her position.
Well, I understand. Judge Keeney is an expert on Indiana law, and I'm sure he will straighten us out on that, but it just seems pretty bizarre if she didn't know a probationer under her supervision worked at this car dealership.
I can't state for certain whether she knew or did not know that her probationer was employed at that dealership. I would think that a cursory review of her file, which should include employment information, would inform her that she had a where her probationers were employed, and that they have to report periodically, I believe, to the court as to their current situation while they're on probation.
Well, what if one of the three judges who fired her went to the car dealership and somebody who worked there had a case pending in front of the judge? The judge didn't know that, would they?
Well, the judge may not know that he had somebody pending before him employed at that dealership, but a probation officer or a deputy probation officer would be in a position to know that because of the employment information in the probationer's file. But a fax of a complaint may not include employment information.
So then you're saying that she knew?
She certainly should have been in a position to know if she didn't know. She certainly should have information in her file that would tell her whether or not the gentleman was employed at that dealership.
But, you know, this really doesn't have a lot to do with the issue you raised here, but I just thought it was sort of peculiar.
Yes, sir.
Position to take.
We would maintain that the order of Judge Lozano should be upheld and that the case should be dismissed against the three judges and that the interim final judgment should be upheld as well.
Thank you. Mr. Grimes, you have seven minutes left.
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, I don't agree that the probation officer should be assumed to know where every probationer that she supervises works.
Well, did you rebut that assertion at any point?
Yes, we did. There was a hearing.
And in what document or what hearing?
That was at a hearing, an administrative hearing in the Superior Court. That was our position. Her position was that she testified under oath that she did not know that the probationer worked there. This came about from simply a newspaper ad where her boyfriend picked up the newspaper ad. They were advertising that, look, regardless of your credit, we will sell you a car. Miss Montgomery didn't need a car. She simply went with her fiancé to buy a car. He was the one that was needing a car and had the bad credit, and that's why he couldn't get a car. But with that offer, she went for the purpose of going along with him for him to select the vehicle. He needed a vehicle to go to and from work. She had a vehicle. There is nothing in the record that's before this court that indicates or could raise an inference that Ms. Montgomery knew that her probationer worked at this particular car dealership. There are hundreds of car dealerships. And the court's inquiry about a judge going to a dealership in a situation where perhaps the judge has heard a case, has sentenced the person, say, to probation. The court does have access to probation records. It has access to sentencing recommendations. So the court does have access to those records. So if the court were to go there, based upon what the defendants are testifying to, the court wouldn't have the same problem. But here's a person who's a probation officer, goes with her fiancé to buy a car, and she gets terminated. That's why we raised these claims, because we thought it was extraordinary. We also believe that it is egregious conduct that shocks the conscience for a court to penalize a person for the exercise of their constitutional right of association by firing them. There's nothing in the record that indicates that the court, but for that incident, would have terminated her. And we believe that the decision of the district court should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes. Thank you, Mr. Bremer. The court